Reverend Kenneth J. McFadden, in Facing Our Losses, Finding Our Future, writes about congregations who find themselves in crisis based on accumulated losses. Last week, Kimberly Rasmussen mentioned some of them: loss of traditions, falling numbers of congregants, and of course, loss of members and pastors. Many of us fear that church involvement is no longer central in our society, that we are a dying breed. In my family, only my mother and I still attend church. Reverend McFadden says often congregations who have experienced a lot of loss are tired and depressed. They feel a sense of holding on, more desperate for new members than new life. Many feel that our best days are behind us, and so we cling to the past. We're not the church we used to be, they say. Does this sound like grief to you? Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was a psychiatrist who specialized in understanding and teaching professionals and families how to deal with death. She talks of five stages of grief that a dying person and their family go through, not necessarily in order: denial of what is happening, anger and rage at God, your loved ones, everyone and everything, bargaining, looking for a way to change the inevitable, depression, and finally, acceptance of what is. These stages can be seen in any loss, even one so relatively insignificant as, for example, the loss of one's credit card or checkbook. I can't believe it's really lost, so I search endlessly in the same places. I get angry at myself for being careless or accuse someone else of moving it. I become temporarily immobilized. And finally, I take a deep breath and call the bank or credit card company, cancel the card or checkbook, figure out how to manage until the replacement arrives. I only start being productive after I've accepted the loss. My husband and I accept loss very differently. I am not subtle. He is. But we both become temporarily immobilized when we can't find the keys. He thinks I overreact. I have to check to see if he's still breathing. But we're both responding to grief. Is this the beginning of the end of my memory? I've been caught up in this cycle of grief any number of times and didn't realize what was happening. I learned early on that the best way to manage grief is to keep a stiff upper lip and charge ahead. People sometimes admire this. She never skipped a beat, they might say. Well, actually, she skipped many beats. In fact, she skipped right over her grief. If she thought at all, she believed she could manage to work her way around it. It never occurred to her that you have to experience it, to work your way through it. And sometime later, maybe much later, the griefs I skipped over showed up, disguised as anger, or an inability to cope, or an overreaction to something small. In Getting to the Other Side of Grief, the authors point out that emotional pain hurts, but that doesn't mean it's harmful. We need to face pain in order to break through to a deeper peace. When your child scores the crucial point in a ball game, you don't wait a few days before you holler and shout. You scream at that moment. The same is true for negative feelings. We can temporarily avoid dealing with them, but we only have a limited storage space for them. Once that space is full, the feelings have no place to go. Sometimes they surface later in a context context that doesn't fit the emotion. Some of us have experienced wars in which people we know were fighting. Some lost body parts, their livelihood, even their lives. Many of you lived through the Great Depression, and now we're all living through the Great Recession, with news every day that another country is facing bankruptcy, that its youth have a 40% unemployment rate and are not going to take it anymore. I am bone tired of change. I want things to be secure and warm and a little bit challenging, but not too much. I'm tired of watching the news and hear about uprising and financial schemes going awry, of faithless politicians and inactive voters, of Tea Partiers and liberal wingnuts. Can't this place be a refuge at least for an hour a week? One thing I learned from Reverend McFadden, Dr. Kubler-Ross, and others, individuals, families, organizations like churches all need to grieve their losses. As the body of Christ, we need to grieve together as well as individually. This is our church, and we're attached to each other. We've been through a difficult few years trying to figure out how to find our way. We've gotten outside help. We've suffered big losses. Some have spoken out, maybe more loudly than others thought was right. Others didn't speak at all, but wish they had. There have been disagreements, hurt feelings, intemperate conversations, even thoughts of leaving. How can I grieve my losses here in a way that allows me to eventually hear God calling me in a new direction? Anger hasn't worked very well. I have raged in public or in private, but then had to come to grips with the loss anyway, and maybe some additional damage caused by my raging. But I think I can carefully, meaningfully tend to myself and others, knowing that there isn't a soul here who isn't hurting in some way, for some reason. A sentence I read the other night in an article on politics struck me as true. You only get to understanding if you have conversations. How would it be if I said to someone, I get the feeling that you're frustrated or even angry with me. I don't know if you can trust me enough to talk about it. Help me understand. Or, I really care about you and about our church. How about we do something together to renew our spirits? Maybe some weeding while we discuss the Giants or the Queen's Jubilee, or what to bring to the next potluck. In her book, An Altar to the World, Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor says, popular religion focuses so hard on spiritual success that most of us do not know the first thing about the spiritual fruits of failures. When we fall ill, lose our jobs, wreck our marriages, alienate our children, most of us are left alone to pick up the pieces. Even those of us who are ministered to by brave friends can find it hard to shake the shame of getting lost in our lives. And yet, if someone asked to pinpoint the times in our lives that changed us for the better, a lot of those times would be wilderness times. The Golden Girls, our FCC women, formerly known as the Crafty Ladies, know about grief. Not one of them hasn't suffered great losses. Family members who are seriously ill, spouses who have died, loss of income, physical faculties, friends who've moved, churches that have changed. Yet at their last get-together, they were able to express their sadness and regrets, things they missed, and also to get excited, talking about ways to reinvent those things for the present. What about a rummage sale with no rummage? How about an all-church project to create quilts as wall hangings in the community room to baffle the noise? And whatever happened to Secret Santa? We don't have the luxury to grieve full-time. There's a church to run, weeds to pull, checks to write, potlucks to organize, music to sing, families to reach, children to teach. As the United States Marines advertised, all we need is a few good people. Is one of them you? In ending, I have a small, weird poem to read to you. I could not lie anymore, so I started to tell my dog, God, to call my dog, God. First he looked confused. Then he started smiling. Then he even danced. I kept at it. Now he doesn't even bite. I am wondering if this might work on people. Amen.